Om Shanti. Hope everybody slept well and enjoyed this morning meditation and the walk. Could you show me who went for the walk? Wow. Wonderful. So it's probably hard to believe that 1 week ago it was raining so heavily that you couldn't possibly go for a walk. I know there must be a lot of water lying around, so it's still green. But really the rain was so heavy that going from one building to another, you had to have an umbrella and be careful, and if it was a long journey, you had to have a car. So we're very lucky that that rain came and then it went. So this morning, I want to introduce Sister Shilu. This is the first session of the program, the foundation, the setup for your whole learning experience for the week. And Sister Shilu is one of the senior teachers of Raja Yoga who lives here in Mount Abu and has for many years. But she travels throughout India and around the world teaching and sharing her experience. She's a very interesting person to get to know, full of life experience because of her taking on opportunities that present themselves through this university. She's a very sweet person and very happy to engage on a personal level and help anyone on their journey. And during her talk, there'll be a couple of times of meditation. So please enjoy and share the time with Sister Shilu.
Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Manobodhyam Karachitanina Natasro Jive na chagrana netre na chavyoma pumi na tejo na vayu chidananda rupa shivoham shivoham chidananda rupa Shivoham, Shivoham Natra prana sakno Nava pancha vayu Nava sapta datu Nava pancha kosha Nava pani padam Natra pasta Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Name Dvesanago Name Nakamo na moksha Chidananda rupa Shivoham Shivoham Chidananda rupa Shivoham Shivoham Na punyam na papam Na sakyam na dukha Na mantro na tirtham Na meda na yagna Aham bochanam neva bocham na bhoktam Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham Namrotyarna Shanka
Greetings of peace to all of you, which we say in the Brahma Kumaris, Om Shanti. Yes, I would request you to repeat after me, Om Shanti, which means I am a peaceful being. You will hear this word again and again, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, and you could answer back with the same word, Om Shanti, meaning that person tells you that I am a peaceful being, and you reciprocate, I am a peaceful being. So, peaceful being meeting another peaceful being. This is the subject for now, soul consciousness and meditation. We just heard a very beautiful hymn. It was in Sanskrit, sung by a German sister, and actually the meaning of this song or hymn was what the subject is of today, soul consciousness and meditation. So it was a great coincidence, because the meaning of the words was, I am never born, I never die. I was never created, nor do I ever get destroyed. I can never be divided. That means I am eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible, and invisible, as I cannot be seen with these eyes. I cannot be burnt by fire. I cannot be cut by a sword. I cannot be made dry by wind, and so on. That is, the five elements cannot change me. This is the awareness of the self. This is soul consciousness. And this is the first stage in meditation. So what is meditation? And what is soul consciousness? Before we understand or go to the main topic, let us understand what is not meditation. Then it will be easy to understand what is meditation. Many people think meditation is just chanting the name of God. But if I'm just chanting without any understanding, then my lips are moving. Maybe I have a rosary and I'm turning the beads of the rosary. Then my fingers are moving. My lips are moving. They are kept busy. And maybe I'm looking at an image. So my eyes are kept busy. My fingers are kept busy. My lips are kept busy. But not my mind. Meditation means to keep the mind busy in awareness of self and awareness of the Supreme. So even if I have been chanting, I've been turning the beads of the rosary, I've been trying to concentrate on some image, I can still be complaining that my mind is like a vagabond. It is wandering. It's like a naughty horse running without the reins. It is like a very mischievous monkey jumping here and there. Why? Because the mind has not been given work. It's the mind which has to be given the work. So what is not meditation is when you're not giving work to the mind, you're just giving work to your physical organs, your senses. Meditation teaches us to give work to the mind. Because mind is that energy which will enable me to connect with the Supreme. The Supreme Father says, keep your mind in me. Remember me. So the mind needs an awareness. And how will that awareness come? By going within. And what is meditation? Meditation is the manifestation of perfection within. Every being is perfect in its original nature. And I am that perfect being in my original nature. But body consciousness has led to this ignorance. And I reveal ignorance in two ways. One is the superiority complex, and the other is the inferiority complex. Superiority complex means the awareness of the worldly achievements and their ego. I am rich, I am intelligent, I am beautiful, I am a businessman, I am a doctor, you know, I set with that ego of the worldly possessions. And meditation tells us that it is not that, that is not you. This is your ego working. Because if it would be you, then it would have stayed with you permanently. But these things come and go. Beauty is only skin deep. Someone may become Miss World, maybe when she's 20 years old. But as she grows older, it's not certain that that beauty will remain. So the beauty is just temporary. Or they even say that beauty is only skin deep. If there's any wound, there's eruption of the skin, then there's blood and pus and whatnot. Where is the beauty? Today I'm rich, tomorrow I can become a pauper. I can become bankrupt too. Today I am healthy, strong, but tomorrow I can be attacked by some disease, incurable disease. I never know. So superiority complex, the ego of the physical possessions or attainments, they are not permanent. And therefore it is ignorance. But on the other hand, the inferiority complex, I'm stupid, I'm foolish, I'm funny, I'm strange, I'm mad, I'm a sinner, I'm weak, I'm helpless. You know, all the negative words which I use for myself sometimes. And usually I think, well, this is humility. I'm just being humble by saying I'm stupid. Actually, it is not being humble. Because if you are really humble, then if somebody else would tell you this, that you are stupid, supposing, would you accept it? Supposing you are told you are stupid, what happens? We react. How dare you say I'm stupid? I know what I'm doing. So you won't accept this comment from somebody else. That means you don't want to believe that it's you. But if you say it yourself, you don't mind it and you say it's humility. But if it's really humility, you would not accept, you would accept that from somebody else too, wouldn't you? So actually, it is definitely not humility. It is ignorance of the true self. So who am I? Superiority complex is also ignorance. Inferiority complex is also ignorance. Who am I? This question has been coming down since ages. all the great philosophers have asked this question, who am I? If you say I'm a doctor, well, that is what you do, that's your occupation. It doesn't really reveal you. It reveals your role. It doesn't reveal your identity. So anything which is temporary, anything which you do, is not really you. Because you play so many roles from morning till night. If you say, I'm a father, again, you may be father of your children, but in front of your father, you are a son or a daughter. So what are you, son, daughter or father? What are you? If you are changing, that means it's not the truth. Truth doesn't change. There's a very famous story about one king. One day he saw a dream, and in that dream he saw that another king attacked his kingdom and won it. And this king was taken to that king who had won his kingdom. He lost his kingdom. And he said, that other king told him, well, you are no longer the king of this kingdom. I am the king. In what way what do you want to do now? He said, okay, you can take this kingdom. I'll go and become a recluse, a hermit, and do some intense meditation in the forest. And as he was going, with a soldier, he felt hungry. All this is seen in a dream. And that he asked the soldier, can you give me some food? I'm hungry. And that soldier gave him some food, and he was just about to put it in his mouth. An eagle came from the sky and immediately came swiftly and grabbed that piece of morsel, that food which he had in his hand. And at that very moment his eyes opened. He got up from his sleep. He was actually dreaming. And he looked around his beautiful palace and said, what is the truth? Is this the truth? That I'm in my palace on my golden bed, enjoying the beauty? Or is that the truth? When I was seeing myself going to the forest, hungry, having lost my whole kingdom. What is the truth? He asked one saint, what is the truth? The saint told him, neither this kingdom which you are ruling in is the truth, nor was the dream the truth. Then what is the truth? He asked. He said, the saint said, the one who was experiencing both, the dream as well as this, who's experiencing it, that one is the truth. Because he's going through these different phases of experience. But all this, what is visible, maybe in a dream or maybe with these open eyes, is not the truth. So what is that which was experiencing it? That is the self. That is the soul. So to be soul conscious, to be in meditation means to be aware of the self as an eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible, invisible entity, a point of divine light. Why invisible? Because these eyes can see just which is physical. Just that which is made up of five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. But I, the soul, am not made of these five elements. whatever is made of these five elements keeps changing. Change is the norm of this world. Everything in this world changes except change. So change is inevitable of this world. But I am unchanging. I existed even before this body was born. And I will continue to exist even after this body perishes. I am neither born and I never die. This is soul consciousness. And where am I in this body? Here. I'm the master of my senses. Just as the driver, the pilot, sits in his vehicle or the plane, only in one place in the front. And he has all the gadgets with him to drive or maybe to fly. He doesn't have to go around the whole vehicle, the train or the car or the plane. He controls from there itself, sitting in one place. So too, I am the master of my senses. A point of divine light and might, seated between the two eyebrows. And we call this the place, the seat of the third eye. It's also called the Agya Chakra. It's the place from where I can give instructions to my senses. If I want to move my senses, I give instructions. If I don't want to, I can just withdraw and become soul conscious. Let us try it for a few minutes. Okay? Can we? Sitting straight. Just like a tortoise. A tortoise has this wonderful capacity, wonderful art of withdrawing. It can take in its arms and legs and head inside the shell. Well, we cannot do that because the skeleton is made of bones and we can't just take in the hands and legs and head inside. But we can definitely withdraw from the senses mentally by becoming aware of the self as an entity separate from the body. Just as I have put on these clothes, they are detachable. They are separate from the body. So too, the physical body is like a costume which is separate from me, the soul. When I say human being, the human part is the body and the being part is me. I'm the software and the human part is the hardware. The being part is the subtle part which can think, feel, visualize, realize, experience. That's me. That is why it is said, as you think, so you become. So let me become aware of my true self as the master of my senses. In a second, sitting straight, I can detach my mind from from the pull of the body. Keeping your eyes open, seeing and still not seeing. I keep my third eye open and see my own self, the soul within. It's an inward journey. I ask myself, who am I? And the answer comes from within. I am a soul. A point of divine energy. The master of my senses. I see through these eyes, but I am not the eyes. I hear through these ears, but I am not the ears. I am a soul. I am light. Double light. Light in form. Light in weight. I become soul conscious instantly. And then I come back into action. It's like withdrawing and then again coming back to my normal state in action. Becoming essenceful and then again coming into expansion. This will help me to detach my mind from the pull of the body whenever I want to. So, what is meditation? Meditation is not just chanting something, not just turning the beads. It's not even just watching your own breath. That's what some people say. I watch my breath, my inhaling, my exhaling. And some people say this is meditation. We say no. This is normal. If you're breathing normally, inhaling, exhaling is normal. Why do I have to concentrate on that? If I'm in my state of peace, then this inhaling, exhaling is natural. So that's not meditation. It's okay when people do pranayama, it's good. It's good for health. Because you take a deep breath, and then you exhale. It's helpful for the organs in the body. It gives fresh oxygen. That's fine. But it's the mind which needs an empowerment. I have to be mentally empowered in order to meditate. Because only that mental empowerment will enable me to face the adverse situations in life. And therefore the mind needs work. It needs the aim, what to think and what not to think. Because mind is a faculty of the soul. Mind thinks many things at one time. It can think many things. That's why it's like a vagabond. The speed of the mind is tremendous. The speed of words, of sound, is comparatively very less. And the speed of actions is comparatively even lesser. But mind is a very, very powerful spiritual energy. We need to tap that. Like the physical energy, sound, we hear, we know about solar energy, wind energy. We can tap that energy. We can store that energy. We can control that energy. So to mind is a spiritual energy, which is going a lot waste in today's hustle and bustle in life. How many negative thoughts come? How many waste thoughts come? We are losing our precious wealth of thoughts. Just like money is precious, but money alone is not the only wealth. Time is wealth. Our breath is wealth, definitely. We have limited breath. So too our thoughts are our real wealth. Just as we go to save money, we want to save time. We want to save our other precious things. What about our thoughts? We never think of saving them. Because if we are allowing the mind to have negative thoughts about self, about others, about the world in general, so many things, how much we are losing. Sometimes it may not be negative, because negative is very bad. Thoughts of lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, jealousy, hatred, all that is, of course, very vicious. It can be very poisonous-like. But sometimes it's not that bad. The thoughts could be just waste, you know, I'm thinking of the past, thinking too much of the future. Even that's not necessary. Because we say past is like history. Well, past was like a dream. Finished, it's gone. It won't come back in the same way again. So we say past is history. Okay, learn from it so that you don't repeat it. If it was not a good decision, not a good judgment, maybe not a good experience, okay, learn from it so that you don't repeat in the future. So past is history. Learn from it. Future is a mystery. You don't know. And therefore, it's like, you know, daydreaming. You're just thinking about this, I'll do this, I'll do that. You really don't know what's going to come, what's in store. So, don't think of that too. No need. But be in the present. Present is a gift. You know, when we give a gift, we call it present too. So present, there's pun on the word present. Present is a gift. Make the best use of it. And how do I make the best use of it? By creating the right thoughts about the self. And then about the Supreme. That's meditation. But Supreme may be in another day a topic. But now just the Self. So who am I? If we are asked another way, even if I know that I'm a soul, but that's not enough. Then the second question can come, why am I here? Why, what am I doing here? Why am I in this world? When you ask this question to somebody, why have we come in this world? You know, we receive such strange answers. somebody said, we have come here to eat, drink and be merry. Eat, drink and be merry. Why are we living so that we may eat? Are we living just to eat? Is that our only aim in life? Or are we eating so that we may live? You know, some say we live so that we may eat. Or is it, or should it be, we are eating so that we may live, because food is necessary to survive. So we are not just here for eating, drinking and being merry. No, no. The purpose is very high. Somebody may say, well, I've come here just to hold things. Well, I don't think that is my purpose too. How much do I need? Wants may be unlimited, but needs are not many. I have only one stomach, not 10 stomachs to store. Maybe you may have a big house to store, but how much will you wear? You know, how many clothes, how many shoes, how much? You don't need much. And therefore we say, we have not come here just to hoard things. Because how long are we going to live in this body? We don't know. You go to a cemetery, and very often, you know, they have that stone, on it is written, so and so was buried on such and such day, and maybe his age is there, or the year he was born and the year he died. So these years don't really matter much, when he was born and when he died. Those years don't matter much. But what matters much is that dash in between. Between those years, when he was born and when he died, that dash in between. How was his life? The quality of life, that is more important, not the years. Years don't matter at all. Somebody can do a lot in just a few years, and somebody can live for 100 years and still have done nothing in his life. He has not given anything to the world. And therefore we say, why are we here? Not to hoard things. Because what you have is given to you by God. You didn't bring it when you came in this world. You will not take it with you when you go away from this world. It was given to you, and when you are gone, somebody else will use it, not you. So therefore, they say what you have is God's gift to you. And what you make of it will be your gift to God. So how much will you return? So nothing belongs to me anyway, and therefore what is my purpose of life? My purpose of life is very, very elevated. I have come here in this world as an actor on this world drama stage. This world is a stage, as Shakespeare said, and we are all actors playing our respective roles. And my aim is to play the best role possible. Can I be the best husband? Can I be the best wife? Can I be the best son, the best daughter, the best mother, the best father, the best doctor, the best engineer, whatever my occupation is, because that's my role. So let me play my role in the best way possible. And when the role is finished, in a second I should be able to give up without any craving or longing or attachment or pull towards it. It's like an actor playing his role, and then when the role is finished, he's away, he's out of it. He doesn't stick to that role. And this is how we understand, why are we in this world? To play our respective roles, but let me play in the best way possible. Then that's the second purpose. Which is the best way of playing our role? What is the best role? The best role is when I'm able to share my qualities with others. Because every soul is an embodiment of peace, of love, of happiness, of bliss. Willpower is my inner strength. I'm a very powerful soul. I'm not a weak soul. So I keep the self-respect within. And I tell myself in meditation, I awaken myself. Who am I? I'm a peaceful soul. I'm a powerful soul. I'm a blissful soul. I'm a happy soul. Because that's what my true nature is. So if I want to play my best role, I should be able to reveal these qualities from within. And therefore they say, what is meditation? It is a manifestation of perfection within. You are perfect in your original self. But we need to awaken that perfection. It is just like a big giant, very strong person. A wrestler maybe, very, very muscle man. But if he's sleeping, he's in deep sleep, then in sleep even his strength is sleeping. It's not awake, it's sleeping. It's not that he's dead, but that strength, physical strength, is sleeping. And when does it awaken? When he awakens. His strength also awakens. But when he's asleep, he's as good as dead, you know, like sleep is like half dead, you know. Some people sleep, they have a big bed, they sleep on one end and morning when they wake up, they are maybe on the other side of the bed, you know. They didn't even know that they have landed there. Some people even walk in their sleep. They don't know when they wake up, did I walk in my sleep? Some people even talk in their sleep, but they don't know. So too we say that when there is ignorance of the self, that inner strength is also sleeping. Therefore, how do we awaken it? Through that consciousness. I am a soul. I am a peaceful being. And as a peaceful being, my responsibility is, or my task in this world is, to share that peace with others. And how do I do that? Through my thoughts, my words, my actions. I can share my peace through my thoughts by thinking of peaceful thoughts about others, the good qualities. I can speak sweet words, give them peace through that. Some people say that, I don't give sorrow to anyone, but why do people give me sorrow? You know, very interesting question. Because if you give sorrow, you get sorrow. But some say, I don't give sorrow to anyone, but why do people give me sorrow? We say, think again. Why do people give you sorrow? How do you say that you don't give sorrow to anyone? Maybe you have not spoken any words which could give them sorrow. But did you also not think about negative thoughts about that person? Because if you think negative thoughts about that person, you are in a way giving him sorrow. And that is why you are getting back the sorrow. Maybe you did not say anything bad or anything wrong to that person which could give him sorrow. But also did you not think? Well, you may say, I'm sorry, I did have not very good thoughts about that person. So if not very good thoughts about that person, that means they were negative thoughts. And if you already shared that negative thought with the other, so naturally you are getting the return of that. So not even to think negative thoughts about others. Only think positive thoughts about others. Only see, pick up virtues from everyone. never see the negative of anyone. So when I do it in this way, automatically I'm giving happiness, I'm giving peace, I'm giving love, and that is what I truly am. And when I think in this way, it's not that my happiness or my love is reducing. You will notice that physical things, when we are sharing with somebody else, they may reduce. I have $10 with me and I give away five to somebody, my dollars will not increase and become 20. They will remain 5 because I've given 5 away. But happiness, peace, love, the more I share with others, the more I will experience. Mine will never reduce. This is the beauty of these virtues. And the more will my life become valuable, because I have those values with me. They say, if no values in life, then no value of life. Value of life is there only when there are values in life. And those values in life means they are values of the soul. Who is experiencing these values? Who is experiencing peace? It's not the body. The body doesn't need peace. The body needs action all the time. If the body becomes still, no movement, it is dangerous, you know. Why no movement? Why can't my fingers move? What's wrong? Something wrong. It's becoming cold. Why? You know, we become so worried. So body movement should be there all the time. Even when we are sleeping, there is movement. No, we are breathing, we are digesting food, the blood circulation is going on, heart is beating, all the involuntary actions are happening even without our knowledge. So there's never stillness of the body. What is peace? Peace is not just stillness. Peace is a power. Peace is an experience of positive energy. So when I say I want peace, who wants peace? It's not the body. If I say body, peace means it is death. The body becomes very peaceful when he dies. No? He's at peace. But even when the body is in a peaceful state, no? The body is laid to rest. But still we pray to God for the peace of the soul, no? Even if the body is in peace. Don't we pray to God for the peace of that soul? That means even if the body is in peace, the soul may not be in peace. That's why we pray to God for the peace of that soul. Actually, I've come in this world to share that with others. But then again, if I have come in this world, then from where have I come? Again, a big question. If we are actors on this stage, then where is my home? I don't belong to this world. A soul is actually compared to a bird. Like for a bird, we will say, its home is the sky. If you keep a bird caged in a cage, give it the best of food, grains, best of, maybe it's a gold cage, maybe with a beautiful swing inside studded with diamonds, you know, beautiful cage. But the bird is not being attached to that cage. It is in that cage because the door of the cage is shut. And if by mistake you keep the door open, what will happen? Will the bird still be there the next moment? You forgot to close the door of the cage. And when you come back after 5 minutes, maybe you see the bird is gone. What happened? It has wings. Why should it be in that cage? cage is not its home. Its home is the sky. It's free. So, as a soul, my nature is freedom. We all love freedom. But it's so strange. It's a paradox. On the name of freedom, how we are binding ourselves more into body consciousness. Body consciousness, vices, impurities, ego, and we think it's freedom. Freedom means in a second you should be able to let go. No pulls. Even the pull of the body, no. The pull of possessions, attachments, you know, nothing is mine. And the soul thinks of the eternal home. The home of the souls is a peaceful world. It's a world of silence. An eternal home, the Brahma element, we say. An element, a fertile element of golden red light. That's my eternal home, which is beyond the five elements. Where the light of the sun, moon and stars also does not reach. That is my eternal home. The five elements are of this physical cosmos. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. But beyond these five elements is another dimension. The world of souls. And I belong to that world. So in a second, I should be able to fly upwards to that eternal home of souls and visualize myself in that world of silence, the world of golden red light, and see myself as a pure, peaceful, loving, powerful, spiritual spark of energy, completely full, totally strong, spreading my rays of peace and love all around. So come on, let us experience this also now for a few minutes. First, an inward journey. Then an upward journey. Inward journey means seeing myself as an entity separate from the body. An upward journey means visualizing myself in the world of infinite golden red light. So you can keep your eyes open and look in the front. Maybe take vibrations from the one sitting in front. And these vibrations can help you. Even the vibrations from the hall, the atmosphere, can help you because the hall is charged with peaceful vibrations. And stay alert. Because if you keep your eyes shut, there are two disadvantages. One is that your capacity to imagine things, to think, may grow hundredfold. And your mind can continue to wander anywhere. And secondly, if you keep your eyes shut, maybe you can go into a state of sleep. And both are hindrances. But if you keep your eyes open in this peaceful, powerful atmosphere, you can get the vibrations from the front as well as from the atmosphere. And very often, you know, when Dadi is sitting or when good yogi souls are sitting in front, you are taking drishti also. You are able to see that them, but then gradually what happens, you feel that the person has disappeared. The physical body is not there, it's just light. And you see yourself in light, facing another light. It's a beautiful experience. So let us sit straight again, keeping your backbone straight, staying alert. If you have anything in your hands, please put it down. No need to hold anything. I'm free. You can interlock your fingers if you like. And feel an inner joy. I'm sitting here for a great cause. I'm sitting here to experience my true self. I go within. I ask myself, who am I? The answer comes from within. I am a soul. I am a point of divine energy. Seated between the two eyebrows, different from the physical body. In a second, I become so light. This physical body is like a costume which I have put on to play my roles in this world drama. I'm only an actor on this world drama stage. I am the master of my senses. But in a second I can withdraw. I can go beyond. I can travel to my eternal home with my mind. I can visualize my eternal home, the world of golden red light. I am like a star-like entity, completely free from the pull of matter. Loving soul. Love is my inner power. I am a blissful soul. Bliss. The bliss I experience because I am eternal, immortal and imperishable. I was, I am, and I will always be. I am a pure soul. Purity is my true nature. Totally flawless diamond. Spotlessly clean. I feel so contented within. I'm full with virtues and powers. I belong to the world of liberation. Waste thoughts end. I have only powerful thoughts about me. I am a powerful soul. Purity and peace are my true religion. I am now aware of my true self. I am now aware of why I have come in the world. I now go back to perform my responsibilities and yet be detached and loving. I know my purpose of life. I know my true self. So I'm sure you must have had some experience. Yes? Those who say they had some experience, raise your hand, please. Let me know. Okay. A few. Good. Maybe with more sessions, you will get more and more experience. And this is just the start, just the beginning. Yes? Good beginning. So well begun is half done. Yes? Well begun, half done. So nearly half done. And now the other half will also come very quickly. And when you go back from here, you will go back very powerful. Yes? Make a determined thought. Can you make this determined thought? Yes? Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Om Shanti.